Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a recording of the Bible message that would normally be shared during the Sunday worship service.
While we're unable to meet together for worship, we will publish our podcasts at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, and you can also see daily videos on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today. When we started out on this lockdown journey, I had all these great ideas of things we were going to do. For starters, we set up a timetable. In the mornings was numeracy and literacy, and the afternoons were going to be a mixture of art, science, music, cookery and gardening. I was also really determined to do Joe Wicks exercise every morning at 9 a.m. for half an hour, because I knew we wouldn't be getting out and about so much. Now, some of these things we've kept to reasonably well, with a little bit of alteration in the plan, and others quickly went out the window. For example, Joe Wicks did not last very long in our house. He was far too energetic for far too long at far too early in the morning. We were worn out before we even started our day. I was filled with good intentions, but not all of them became good routines and disciplines. I've been thinking a lot over this period about keeping at things. I've been thinking a lot about starting things and not carrying them on. I've seen a lot of people who have started things and wondered how much of it would keep going when we properly come out of lockdown. I can be as guilty of this as much as anyone else. And this can also relate to our own spiritual journey. A number of people have talked to me about how they've been able to connect with God so much better during this time. We go to church, either to a building or, as we are now, wherever we watch or listen to online worship and hear a message that applies directly to our lives. And when that happens, we are generally all get pumped up and excited, ready to put into practice the principles we've learned. But how often the truth is, by the time lunchtime comes or the stuff of life happens in the day, the desire and the fire are gone. And in the end, we may find ourselves frustrated and disappointed in our Christian walk. You see, you may have all the right information, all the steps and principles you need to be effective and successful in your Christian life, but you may have missed the mark by not getting connected to the fullness of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Without the fullness of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, all these steps and principles won't work. They won't be fruitful or long-lasting. What's happening is that we're trying to put into practice spiritual principles by using natural techniques, and that's because we're trying to change ourselves from the outside in. This kind of transformation doesn't work that way. It's an inside-out work. It begins with a living, loving relationship with Jesus Christ, and then it's being filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So the question I want to ask you right at the start here today is, are you open to the spirit of enthusiasm? Now, I'm not talking about some emotional display or outburst. L. Nightingale said the word enthusiasm comes from the Greek word entheos, which means the God within. Enthusiasm literally means the God, entheo, inside, ism. That was a real wow moment for me when I read that. You see, the happiest and most interesting people are those who have found the secret of maintaining their enthusiasm, that God within. Literally, it means to be inspired and possessed by God. Someone who is enthusiastic is a person that is so filled with God that their behaviour is dominated by God. They become excited and eager to be a part of all that the Holy Spirit is and open to being filled by him. It's such enthusiasm Paul was trying to encourage Timothy to have and exhibit when he wrote his letter to him in 2 Timothy. That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the ember of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of laying on of my hands. So the question again, Are you open to the spirit of enthusiasm? Well, from our text this morning in Acts chapter 8, we are given the key to living in the fullness and what it means to be open to the spirit of enthusiasm. The story surrounds Philip, one of the deacons of the first church. After Stephen was martyred for his faith, Philip went into the land of Samaria to share the good news. And from his witness, many came into the faith, including one Simon the sorcerer. The story is a vivid contrast between what is a true filling of the Holy Spirit and from what is a false filling. It's a contrast between the spirit of true enthusiasm and a false enthusiasm. More literally, it is a contrast between being filled with or possessed by the spirit of this world or being filled with and possessed by the Holy Spirit. So let's take a moment to look at this Bible reading. I encourage you to put me on pause just now and read Acts chapter 8. Verses 9 to 25, and it will be entitled Simon the Sorcerer. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 25. Let's pray together. Lord, as we listen to your word this morning, I just pray that it won't just go in one ear and out the other, but something of the meaning and the experience will be planted within us, firing up a desire and enthusiasm to be filled properly with the spirit of enthusiasm. Lord, I pray for this to be a real experience for all of us, that you would fan into flame this gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives so we can experience your fullness. Amen. So Simon was a man of great prominence in Samaria and received the notoriety through the practice of sorcery. Now, it's important to realise that Satan may have some powers, but it's nothing compared to the powers of God. Simon, the sorcerer, practised and tried to duplicate similar things to some of those plagues to which God sent to deliver the Jews from bondage back in Moses' time. And so to the people of Samaria, they were astounded, thinking that God was working through Simon. Even Simon believed his own press, claiming he was someone great. Today, Simon would probably have his own website and Facebook pages, and he would be selling forecasts and readings, and he would have television programs and his own line of merchandise, and he'd probably be raking in millions. You know what I mean, because there are Simons still around today. But our text reveals something that should strengthen our faith and give us the courage to share the good news to those around us. And that is the power of God through the simple act of sharing our faith has more power than the greatest power Satan can muster. The gospel of Christ breaks into pieces the power of Satan when the two collide. So in verse 12 and 13, we read that when Philip preached the gospel message, all those who had believed the lie came to know the truth, even Simon. What we need to understand is that people are hungry for what is true and real because there are so many things that are false out there. The promise of God is that when we open our mouths to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, he will fill it. That is, the Holy Spirit will give us the words we need, when and where we need them. And I've lost count over how many times I've had to go to situations of uncertainty, of things that just seem out of my depth, of not knowing what to say. And I've asked the Lord to fill my mouth with the right words, and miraculously he's managed to do it. And I believe that is the work of the Holy Spirit within me. Jesus says in Luke, "Do not be worried about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." That's the blessing of living in the fullness. That is, the Holy Spirit will help us say what needs to be said and do great and marvellous things through us, through the kingdom of God. But while the people and Simon experience belief in Jesus Christ as their saviour and are baptised in the name of the Lord, they hadn't yet experienced the fullness. This came when Peter and John showed up. We read about this in verse 14 to 17. Like the disciples after the resurrection, the Samaritans came to believe in Jesus Christ. And when we believe, we become baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which means that we identify that Jesus died for our sins, was buried and lives again, and we want to be immersed or come completely under his influence. In Salvation Army language, we give our hearts to Jesus. But there's a special anointing, a special empowerment of the Holy Spirit that awaits, and it's available for those who do believe. And it refers to that moment in which the Spirit first begins to operate in a believer's life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's no particular classic style of the Spirit's arrival. He may come quietly and almost imperceptibly, or dramatically and tangibly. The word baptism means to be completely immersed. It's as if the Lord is saying, I want to completely immerse you in the power of the Holy Spirit, flooding every compartment of your life. But it's the last part of this story concerning Simon that has sparked some debate as to whether or not Simon really was saved. We read in verse 14 to 17, the believers, including Simon, were baptized in the name of Jesus, but the full baptism of the Holy Spirit didn't happen until Peter and John placed their hands on them. Simon was so impressed with the visible effects of the laying on of hands as he watched people being baptized in the Holy Spirit that he tries to buy the ability to do what the apostles could do. The essence of all sorcery and witchcraft is the quest for power. Simon had seen Philip do signs and wonders, and he saw that the power of God exceeded the power of Satan. Then he heard the gospel and his heart was stirred, because sorcery was all about pride and power and control and manipulation for selfish purposes. The preaching of a saviour who would sacrificially give up his life to give those who believe in him eternal life must have made a profound impression on him. So he believed in Christ as saviour and turned from that old life to follow Christ. Simon was growing in faith, but his whole experience up to that time was the opposite of what following Christ was all about. No wonder he was so mixed up and easily led astray. No wonder pride stirred again, and as he saw an opportunity to control others. If you doubt that Simon could do such a thing and still be a Christian, perhaps you should ask yourself if your old sinful nature doesn't ever rear up to haunt you at times too. When we trust in Christ as Saviour, our sins are forgiven, we receive eternal life, and the Holy Spirit comes in to guide us and to help us grow and mature. But that doesn't mean our old self, our old sinful nature, what Paul calls the flesh, doesn't rear its ugly head and confuse and tempt us and lead us astray. The reality is that Simon really didn't know anything different, because buying a power was part of what he practiced as a sorcerer. That's how they used to do things. Simon tried to fit his worldly understanding and practices into what he believed. It says in verse 18, when Simon saw. He saw it, therefore he hadn't yet experienced it. He hadn't yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He hadn't yet experienced the fullness and hadn't yet been empowered. Perhaps this is where some of us find ourselves in faith today. We aren't experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit because we haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, like Simon, we just add Jesus to the rest of our belief structure. What Jesus encourages every one of us to do is to wait and pray for this baptism, to be immersed with or come completely under the Holy Spirit, so that he can lead and guide us into the good and right ways of God, as Jesus promised. Peter puts Simon straight and tells him that he can't buy this ministry, and that his actions mean that his heart is not really right with God. He hadn't fully repented. You see, when a person comes to belief in Jesus Christ, they become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit lives inside. They've got rid of the old, the nasty stuff, and the Holy Spirit fills the place that the old stuff filled. And when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, the dam breaks loose, the floodgates of God's divine power and blessings open up, and we become open to the spirit of enthusiasm. That is the fullness of God working in us and through us. In John 7, Jesus likened the Holy Spirit to living waters. Now, living water was water that was always moving. It was always new and fresh and never stale nor stagnant. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is a fresh flow of power in a believer's life. It's like seeing fresh daily in the supermarket. What then are the evidences of fullness of the Holy Spirit, of this fresh flow? Well, firstly, it's a fresh flow of worship and praise. Acts 2 says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Later on in verse 11, it says we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. They were worshipping God. Now, it doesn't say that they were singing songs of praise and worship, but we praise and worship God in many different and various forms. They were praising and worshipping God because they were proclaiming the wonderful work of God, as it says here in Acts. That's what happens when we have this fullness of the Holy Spirit. We have this great desire to declare the wonders of God. The second evidence is the fresh flow of power. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The power that is being talked about is that of being a witness for Jesus Christ, a power to share the good news of salvation. We can see this power at work in Philip as he preached the gospel, the good news, and he saw many come to salvation along with signs and miracles. I picked up a sad commentary of today's church the other day. It said that we are the first generation to seek the power of the Holy Spirit, but not to further the kingdom of God, but to be, as it were, entertained. This is why some believers in Jesus Christ aren't experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit, because first and foremostly, they want to be entertained. The purpose of the fresh flow of power is to further the kingdom of God, not to be entertained and not to navel gaze. Think about it. Water that is still generates no power. Only when water is moving is power generated. It is only when the gospel is preached that the living water of God, the Holy Spirit, lights up the lives of all who hear. The third evidence is the fresh flow of communication with God. Romans 8 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. In Pete Greig's book, How to Pray, he talks about the fact that by showing up to pray makes a declaration of intent. You may say, Lord, I'm here. I don't want to be, perhaps, or I don't know what to say, but I'm here. By simply showing up, you're making yourself available. And often we find that those moments turn out to be the times when the Holy Spirit works in a most powerful way. Pete says, I have come to believe that 99% of it is just showing up, making the effort to become consciously present to the God who is constantly present to us. The Holy Spirit knows the mind and will of the Father and Jesus towards us. And even though we don't sometimes know what to pray for, it's by faith we commune with God. And the more we do this, the better the communication and more powerful it is. I've heard communicating with God described as the soul's native language. How beautiful and powerful is that? And this final evidence of this fullness of the Holy Spirit is the fresh flow of fruitfulness. Galatians 5, familiar verse, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Most of us feel like we're not even close to having all of these happening in our lives, especially during this time of lockdown. But what we need to understand is that we are still a work in progress, and some of these things come more naturally than others. But the Holy Spirit is working them in our lives. Perhaps we see evidences of the fruit more today than we did when we first came to know the Lord. And as we continually rely upon the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us along the way, then this fruit of the Spirit will continue to ripen and our fruitfulness will continue to grow and mature. You know, Simon tried to buy the ability to lay hands on people and give them this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's because he was still operating in the world. If we're not experiencing these fresh flows, including the fresh flow of the Holy Spirit's gifts, if the vibrancy of the Holy Spirit is missing, and if the fire has died down along with our relationship with the Lord, then there is a good chance that more of the world is forming inside of us. Paul understood this and tells us in his letter to the Galatian church that there is a war going on inside of us, a war where our fleshly desires is warring against the Holy Spirit. Now, one would think that there would be no contest, but there is a truism that goes like this. Whatever we feed the most will end up dominating the other. What are you feeding the most in your life? The stuff of the world or the stuff of God? In the end, we really can't be fruitful without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Such a filling is a necessity if we're going to live effective godly lives in an ungodly world. It's a necessity if we're ever going to regain that fire and make a difference in the lives of our family and in the life of our community and our city for the sake of God's kingdom. What's the key to living in the fullness? It's found in our passage when it says they received the Holy Spirit. Our living in the fullness rests solely upon our willingness to being open to the Holy Spirit, open to God pouring out his Spirit and filling us to overflowing. Just as it was God's desire to fill the disciples and then those of Samaria, so it's God's desire to fill us to overflowing today. Let's receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit and begin living in that fullness and making a positive difference in our families, our workplace, in our community, and in the world. May you be filled with enthusiasm today. Holy Spirit, rain down, O comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. I pray that for you, and I pray that for myself as well, that we would experience a new touch of God's anointing and be filled with enthusiasm today. Let that be our prayer as we reflect and listen to this song, and then I'll draw to an end our time together with a prayer. so a final benediction. May the love of God create in you new life. May the power of God transform your old habits into new hope. And may the Spirit of God grant you wisdom and vision, emboldening you to proclaim the good news of God's love to all. And may you be filled with enthusiasm today. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.